Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Because they don't want me to, that's why I do it.
Presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance.
From the Sig Sauer Studios. On the Patriot Mobile Platinum Microphone. Here is your host, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting the enemies of freedom, Mark Walters.
It's Friday. It's Greg's favorite day of the week. I can't say that I haven't been looking forward to Friday today. Welcome in, guys. 6 hour studio lit up for you. Mark Walters filling your prescription for freedom today and every day in front of this Patriot Mobile Command and Communication Center microphone. It's all being brought to you by the great X Insurance. Make sure to check them out. And all of our partners at armedamericanradio.com. Greg over in Dallas, Texas, thanks for the rain, bud. Do appreciate it. You kept the lightning and thunder and tornadoes away, just a little crappy out. But you know what? I'm still going to barbecue some steaks tonight, brother.
That sounds like a plan.
Nothing stops me at the ranch. You have a ranch?
Yeah, you know.
Yes, I have a ranch. Hey,
do you have a ranch? Hold on a second.
you have a ranch?
You have a Maybe. Ranch?
I do. Kind of, sort of.
I'm not quite as grandiose as you.
I guess if you live in an apartment, I have a ranch, right? How about that?
Yeah, probably.
There we go. Okay. Greg, would you be kind enough to tell people where to watch my mug in high definition, please?
Sure. If you want to watch the show, just head on over to armedamericanradio.org or .com. On the right-hand side of that website, you're going to see the menu icon. Just give that a click, and when that window opens up, you can select that Watch Live option. You'll also be able to chat there. If you are driving, well, don't watch and chat at the same time while you're driving. Please head on over to the Listen Live link. And if you missed a previous episode, head on over to that podcast link. If you'd like to join the Telegram chat, well, just head on over to your app store, grab the Telegram messaging app, create your profile, and search for Armed American Radio Conversations.
Yeah, so guys, I had some questions the other day. Am I in the Telegram chat during the show? I'm on my website during the show. So if you, I monitor the chat on our webpage at armedamericanradio.com, not the third party app. I can't keep all that going at one time, so it's easier for me. So if you want to talk with me, you can visit armedamericanradio.com during the show, and the chat is open live for you. And well, we're already in there in the chat. So yeah, if you've got something fun to say, let me know. And if I can respond and get you live on the air with your words, I will certainly do so. Let's go right to the phones. Paul Markle, we're going to trick you today. Paul Markle would normally be here today, but he's out training in the mud all day. And I felt it was important that we bring back Lee the Gunwriter Williams, who is doing incredible work reporting on the ATF, this rogue, incredibly weaponized agency. Lee the Gunwriter Williams, welcome back. Another amazing piece on the ATF. Now, my own personal opinion, Lee, and ladies and gentlemen, we're talking specifically about the Clinton National Airport in Little Rock, the 53-year-old executive director who was murdered, you hear me properly, murdered by a rogue ATF agent with a shot to his head while serving a quote-unquote warrant. Lee, incredible work. You've been hard on the ATF for the last couple of years. Keep it up, brother. This story is only going to get bigger, me thinks. How about you?
Yeah, I wish we didn't have to write it. I know after Biden took office, you and I both predicted when ATF started raiding again in earnest that they're going to kill someone. I remember saying that to you 3-4 times. Yeah, if they're going to start raiding again, they're going to kill someone. And brother, it was just a matter of time. If they keep it up, they're going to kill somebody else. And unfortunately, they did. This guy, Brian Malinowski, he's making $250,000 a year as the executive director of the Clinton National Airport. Lives in a very nice community in West Little Rock. He's got a wife. He liked guns. He liked to sell guns. He sold guns at gun shows. He didn't have an FFL. That is what they call a malum prohibitum crime. means mm-hmm. it's a crime only because the lawmakers said it's a crime. And they on Tuesday morning, ATF sent one of their SWAT teams, like you and I have talked about, and they did a no-knock search of his home. And at 6 a.m., when your front door disappears, what are you going to think? I mean, the family raises really good questions about, you know, did he know he was shooting and trading gunfire with federal agents, or do you think it was a home invasion? I know what I would have done. And one of the ATF agents was slightly injured. Brian took a round. An ATF agent shot him in the head with their AR. He lingered from Tuesday morning till yesterday, and then he died. The sad part is ATF still has control over his body. The family wants to, you know, donate his organs, but ATF won't allow them to do that.
All right. So much going on here.
Yeah.
Let's get into this. Ladies and gentlemen, this story is going to get bigger because the ATF has remained silent on this to this point. The only thing that we know, and Lee, maybe you can tell us about the source here as the story continues to grow, is from what we understand, his brother said he was an avid firearms collector. And I guess the source of this statement that I'm going to make comes from his brother, who believes that he was targeted because he was selling a firearm that he may have made, may have. I phrase that properly.
No.
Is that right?
No. I read the warrants and the supporting affidavit. They accuse him of selling firearms at gun shows without an SSL. They accused him of, they said five or six of those guns turned up at crime scenes, and then he sold a couple of handguns to undercover ATF agents at a gun show, and he didn't have an FFL. So they were going after him, basically, for a malum prohibitum crime because he didn't have a license.
So let's go back into that. The brother had originally said that he had sold firearms to people who may not have been able to have them. Okay, so that's kind of, now we know more details on this. That's why I wanted you on the program today. I've not read the warrants. Should that be a death sentence? Now, here's why I ask this. For what possible plausible reason would the ATF pull a no-knock warrant or raid, I should say, pre-dawn for this supposed crime, we don't know, supposed crime, instead of just showing up at work and peacefully arresting the man?
Yeah, that's exactly what they should have done. They knew where he was 5 days a week. He's in the big office at the airport.
He's not hard to find.
Yet I feel bad even mentioning what he's accused of, Mark, because he does not and never will have the opportunity to address those allegations. Quite frankly, it makes me angry to say, you know, I don't know if anything in the affidavit's true based on their conduct. Did they write the affidavit after he was killed trying to cover their butts? Who knows? All I know is I've written search warrant affidavits. I've kicked down doors. I've gone in on search warrants. And on something like this, you know, you go to his office and you say, hey, we've got a search warrant for your house. Let's go. And you go. There's no need to do there's no need to use this much force there. But, you know, like they did for poor Russell Fincher, don't forget him, rural Oklahoma.
Right.
They hit him with a SWAT team, too. You know why? Because they got a SWAT team. I think that's it. So let's use it. Let's use it. I mean, the fact that this guy is dead, it's for a malum prohibitum crime, for something the lawmakers, the legislature said is illegal. He didn't have an FFL, and now he's dead.
But I want to point out, we don't know that. We don't know that to be true. I believe absolutely nothing. Nothing from them.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to
focus on what did he do wrong? What did he do wrong? I don't know. I mean, all I know is what ATF wrote down, but he'll never have his day in court to refute that.
Well, here's some things that we do know, ladies and gentlemen. We know when the media doesn't tell us everything right out of the box, we already know, don't we? We do. We know who committed the crime. When the media doesn't tell you that, we know. When the ATF stays silent, you have to start wondering the same things. I believe nothing that comes from them, and nothing that they say after this is believable. You know, when you go to someone's house on a search warrant, when he's a, I almost said a very bad word, when he's a fugitive from justice, and they already went to his work on multiple occasions and couldn't find him, and then they find out where he's at because he knows he's being hunted, that's when you serve a SWAT warrant. Correct me if I'm wrong, Lee.
You serve a no-knock warrant for one reason, and one reason only. You think that the suspect in there might destroy evidence. If you've got 2 ounces of cocaine, and police are going to do a search warrant at your home, there's a good chance you could walk those over to the toilet and flush them. So it's going to be hard, quick, fast, no-knock warrant. He's not going to flush guns, okay? None of the guns in his home were contraband anyway. So why the no-knock warrant? Why not just go up and ring the doorbell? This is not the type of dude that's going to start shooting cops. I do believe he thought that they were home invaders. And given his neighborhood,
it would make sense.
And from what I've talked, yeah, it would make sense.
Now, we're getting ready to take a break. When we come back, let me throw a couple of devil's advocate things here, okay, at you. Yes, he made a lot of money. Yes, he had a high-powered job. Yes, he was well-served and liked by the community. Yes, he was well-known. Yes, he lived in a nice neighborhood. That doesn't mean he can't commit crimes, ladies and gentlemen. I want to make that clear. We'll be right back with Lee.
Following segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back to the show.
Yes, welcome back to the show indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, you may remember, I believe it was, it's probably been well over a year now. Time flies, I lose track of time. The Double D Foundation. If you recall, back, I think we did 3 of these with Daniel Defense and the Double D Foundation. Raffles. And of the 4 raffles that we participated in, Armed American Radio listeners won 2 of them. Okay? So that means your odds are pretty good. And the Double D Foundation just announced a new raffle today. It's the 50 Shades of FDE custom rifle build. It's a limited series build from Daniel Defense. It's valued at $49.99. We can round that up to $5,000. Daniel Defense M4A1 R3 FDE Trijicon TA31F ACOG 4x32 BAC rifle scope. Oh, good heavens. ModLite 18350 with the tactical gas cap system, B5 Systems furniture, and multitasker M4 tool comes with it. Blue Force Gear Vickers Padded Sling, Mission First Tactical 16-ounce Bang Flip Top Bottle, Challenge Coin, and Certificate of Authenticity. You can find it at thedoubledfoundation.org. Check this out. One lucky winner is going to take home this highly collectible and what is really, truly an extremely coveted rifle. Can it? Will it be you? It can be you. Tickets are $25 each. Or 5 for $100. I've already put my 5 for $100 in. Man, you know, I hate to say it. I'd hate to win it. But I'm throwing my hat in the ring, too. It would almost be kind of like, you really shouldn't do that. It'd be kind of hard to announce myself if I won that. But I had to get in on it. So, and I can. I checked. You must enter to win, and the raffle ends on April 24th at 4 p.m. Now, if you're on their email list, you got this. But if not, simply head over to thedoubledfoundation.org, thedoubledfoundation.org. And the money for the tickets benefits the youth shooting sports across the country. It's for a great cause. And I'll tell you what, this is not something you wouldn't want to have lingering in your safe. It's beautiful. There's a photograph of it over there. And again, tickets are $25 a piece. Or 5 for $100, which is what I did. You might want to consider that. Go over and check that out. I would love for an Armed American Radio listener to win 3 of the 5 of these incredible raffles and these incredible rifles over there at thedoubledfoundation.org. Check them out. That's a big one. It's nice. It's beautiful. You'll see the photo there. Lee the Gunwriter Williams, I know you'd love to have that thing in your safe, my brother. Oh.
ACF agents need to apply.
What's that?
ATF agents need not apply for that.
Yeah, you ATF agents, yeah. No, not for you, AFT agents. Bunch of, you know, look, I made, it's a bold statement for me to say they murdered the guy, but they did. This was unnecessary. It did not have to happen, period. It did not have to happen. This man could have been served a word. Let's just assume, as I said going to the break, you know, okay, guy's highly educated, guy's got a high-paying job, guy's well-liked by the community, guy runs the airport. Now, this kills me, but can you imagine flying in and out of Bill and Hillary Clinton Airport every time you had to fly? Oh, good heavens. I'll change the name, please. But nonetheless, this guy ran the airport. He was the executive director. He was in charge of it, knew what he was doing. As Lee pointed out, lived in an upscale neighborhood. All of that's great. But that doesn't preclude him from being a criminal. I mean, he could have been a criminal. All right. How many TV shows have you watched? Right. My son was in one of them on Netflix. You remember Marty? And they were doing the drugs and working and laundering money. Yes, I know it was a TV show. The point that I'm trying to make is that sometimes, you know, there are bad people in all walks of life. Let's assume that this stand up appearing guy was doing what the ATF said, Lee. And let's even go further. Let's say he did it all five times. Let's say he sold five guns and he did it intentionally, selling it to bad guys. Is that any reason to show up at his home and kill him? Or should they just have gone and arrested him where they knew he worked and they could have done it peacefully and cuffed him and perp-walked him outside?
He could have. He deserved to have the opportunity to answer the allegations. Now he'll never get that, ever, obviously. I just, the finality of what they did is just beyond, having done these search warrants, it's just beyond stupid. Okay, you've got his office. He's going to be there. And besides, he's not a flight risk. He's not going to run. And what firearms in his home, what are you looking for? I mean, even if he did everything they accused him of doing, and I don't even like talking about the allegations because he's not here to defend himself.
Right. That's why I say, let's just assume.
He's going to get fined and probation. Okay, he's not going to be sentenced to death, which is what they did to him in his home.
All right, now this raises a lot of obvious questions. The story is going to get bigger because at some point the rogue AFT is going to come, and at some point they're going to be forced to. Now, the governor Sarah in Arkansas, to my knowledge, has been silent on this. I was talking with AWR Hawkins last night about this briefly. And I would have thought that a Huckabee, okay, and that's who she is, would have said something about this. Care to speculate? Let's do it. It's a talk radio show. Let's talk about it. Care to speculate as to why she's been silent yet?
Arkansas is going to get their opportunity here. I think she probably doesn't want to say anything because the Arkansas State Police's Criminal Investigation Division are going to be the ones that are examining the shooting. Then it will go to a state prosecutor, not a federal one, to determine if any ATF agents should face criminal charges like, maybe murder or manslaughter.
They should, regardless.
If I was her, I wouldn't say anything either. That they could have a defense that she prejudiced the jury pool, that she's telling the prosecutors what to do, that she's, warning her state police that they better come up with a guilty plea. I checked into Arkansas State Police. They've got a tremendous reputation. Their CID is supposed to be pretty good. Major Stacey Rhodes runs it. She's the commander. She has not called back. I didn't expect her to. But, yeah, I think Sarah's playing it safe here because now it's the state's turn to look at what ATF did and to decide if a reasonable person, as you all know, if a reasonable person in a similar situation would have used deadly force, or if they would have put themselves in that position where they had to use deadly force. So I think Sarah's playing it cool.
Yes, but it certainly wouldn't hurt for her to make the benign statement that you just made. Obviously, we had a bad situation regarding this incident, but whatever it was, just acknowledge it, maybe, and, let them know that the state, she could say something. I am a little surprised that she hasn't. Just a generic statement. We're getting ready to take another break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about how this guy reacted. And, of course, it's all speculation because he's not here to tell us about it. But we're going to use it as an educational tool, or try to anyway. What would you do? How would you handle that? Theater of the mind over the break. You're asleep on your couch. your front door gets kicked in. Picture the, envision the layout in your home. What's going through your mind? You're armed. There's a gun within reach of me whenever I'm home, wherever I am in my home. Let's talk about that with Lee the Gun Writer Williams when we come back. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Two more segments to go with Lee. Don't go away.
Daniel Defense firearms are guaranteed for life, trusted worldwide, and designed, engineered, and manufactured right here in America. Daniel Defense, freedom, passion, precision.
Yeah, freedom, passion, precision, Daniel Defense. Remember that Double D Foundation raffle going on over there? It's gorgeous. Check it out. Tickets, $25 a piece, five for 100. Get that extra ticket like I did, and good luck to you. I would love to see another Armed American Radio listener win that beautiful rifle, that custom rifle over there. Very, very limited edition from Daniel Defense. There will likely never be another one like it, and they will just continue their custom builds. And it's all for a super cause. Make sure to check out all of our partners, please. All of our partners. You can find them at armedamericanradio.com. Clayton from Heaven's Harvest will be joining the program on Tuesday with us. Those of you who were wondering where Paul Markle was today on his regular slot, he is training today. So could not make it. BarrelBuddy.com, PTAmmo.com, Waft.com for that scenario-based training. Did you get your goat guns yet? Greatest little gifts in the world and way fun to play with. GoatGuns.com, ArmsList.com. Cutting Edge Firewood, they're delivering to me on the 29th, coming up a week from today, actually. They will be here picking up an empty rack and delivering me another rack of white oak. Oh, it's that time of year. I love it. HeavensHarvest.com. And don't forget the rest of our partners. It's all being brought to you by X Insurance. Also, MyPillow.com/Armed American Radio. Use the AAR promo code. Support him for supporting your right to bear arms. And thank him for being here for a decade with us. The guy needs all the help and support he can get. So thank him. It's real simple. Just use the promo code AAR at MyPillow.com/Armed American Radio. Lee the Gun Writer Williams, welcome back. Got to get some business out of the way, Lee. There, Lee. So thanks for hanging in there with me. So I put up the theater of the mind, right? The theater of the mind. I know how my home is laid out, and I know if my door got kicked in, it wouldn't take but, oh, I don't know, a split second for me to have a bead on my front door. Literally.
Yeah, same here. That's one of the nice things about being a gun owner is you have the ability to defend yourself and to defend yourself rather quickly. That's why we have them. That's why they're loaded. That's why they're ready to go. Door flies off the hinges. I'm not going to go start checking IDs. You know, do you have a badge? I know we had a home invasion, horrible home invasion up in Bradenton, which is, as you know, about 20 miles north of me. And the bad guys hit, they shattered the sliding glass door and they walked in. And what were they screaming? Please search warrant. Please search warrant. Murdered the homeowner right in his bed. So, yeah, bad guys are not stupid sometimes. They'll think of stuff like that. They'll do that. You have to be ready.
All right, so let's go the teacher route here, okay? Which is hard to do in a situation like this. I think, listeners, I think I did, and I think Lee just made it very clear that if my door gets kicked in, there's muzzle flashes. I don't have time to wait in that split second. That split second can get you killed. Let's assume it's a bad guy, ATF. They're bad guys, too, as far as I'm concerned, particularly in this situation, Lee. But let's assume it's home invaders pulling that whole search warrant garbage that they do, and they do it. We've covered multiple cases of that on the show over the years. Let's assume it is a group of home invaders. Lee, if you wait just a split second for the door to get kicked in to see who it is as it's being kicked in, or that split second afterwards, you're likely not going to survive.
You know, the door has always been called a fatal funnel for SWAT teams, for special operations guys. Going through that door is always a fatal funnel. It's where the bad guys know you're going to be. It's hard to get in and get out of that fatal funnel. Use that to your advantage if you're defending your home.
So if you hear...
That's my advice.
6 o'clock in the morning and you can account for your family, you know where your family is, and you hear commotion because the door is not likely going to be kicked open the first try. It is certainly not going to be quiet when it happens. I ask you, listeners, to think about this. How many of you are firing through the door before it gets kicked in?
I gotta have a target.
This has happened. This has happened before many, many times.
Yeah.
And people have walked.
I'm not gonna shoot through a door.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Specifically, I'm not sure that I can say that I wouldn't. But my door is secured. Okay, I've got more than just a deadbolt on there. I have security on my door. And it's not a battering ram is not going to get it in on its first round. Okay, you got two or three guys. I don't know. What were they likely using? Lee, you've been there. What were they likely using to get the door down?
There's so many things. The ram is the first thing that comes to mind. I used to use my size 12 master key. You know, it depends. Breaching is a study and a science all on its own. My big question is, what were these guys wearing? Okay, it's pretty easy for me to pick out a Sarasota County deputy or a Sarasota City police officer because they'd be wearing a uniform. But you know how ATF likes to be the cowboys. Are they wearing jeans and their shirts with maybe some type of ballistic vest over that? Or
that you can buy, that you can buy pretty much anywhere that says agent on the back of it?
Exactly. You know, what were they wearing? I hope we'll discover this in court soon. Hopefully the CID is requesting pictures of the Raiders and just to determine what they were wearing. Are they wearing ball caps with long hair and mustaches and all trying to be cowboys and Don Johnson? Or, you know, if Kurt Hoffman's Sarasota County deputies came to my door, one, I would see red lights flashing outside. And two, they would all be wearing the sheriff's office green, which they wear down here in Florida with badges. And uniform.
Would they be on a no-knock? Would they be on a no-knock? Yeah. Would they be with their lights on?
Would they do that? They'd be their SWAT team and their uniform, too. It's important to let – I don't care what you're wearing. If it's your daily uniform or some type of special response uniform, there's a reason they call them uniforms. It's because everybody is uniform. They look like police officers. No SWAT team worth their salt is going to want to confuse that. Is going to want to give the defendant, the suspect, the opportunity to say, I didn't know there were cops. So, yeah, I want to know what these guys were wearing. I want to know what they were carrying. And you know what, Mark? Here's the big thing. Why not do a call out? It's a Delta Force used that tactic in Afghanistan. Surround the place, call them out, get on the speaker, you get a cell phone, call them on the phone, say, hey, come out with your hands up. There's nothing wrong with that either.
Shouldn't that
call
be?
Call would have been great.
Look, I understand no knocks need to be served under certain conditions. And you laid some of that out in the second segment. I understand that. But in this situation, we're not dealing with a violent fugitive, as I said before.
Right.
We're not dealing with a hold up guy who just shot up a grocery store that we have cornered in the home. That's a whole different ballgame. You're going in for bear, man. You're going in with flashbangs and everything else. You're going to breach. But in a situation like this, look, I can only hope that someone is held accountable at ATF. But I am not confident of that. I'm glad that it occurred in Arkansas. I'm glad that Sarah is the governor. I feel pretty confident that she'll do the right thing. I'm a little dismayed by the fact that she hasn't said anything yet. That concerns me somewhat.
Well, and I just broke it, last night. So, you know, maybe she'll come out with a statement today. I hope she doesn't wait for Monday. She's not going to do anything on the weekend. So maybe this afternoon, this evening, or Monday. But then again.
Have you interviewed her before?
No, I've never spoken to the woman.
Yeah, it's interesting because, and I'll talk with AWR about this on Sunday's MonsterCast, but AWR, in fact, has interviewed her a number of times and has a direct line over there. It would be interesting to me, and we'll check with him on Sunday to see if, in fact, he's reached out or, you know, has there been any contact? I don't know. But I think the governor needs to speak up on this. We clearly have a weaponized agency at ATF. And I'll make this statement again. If you're an ATF agent and you justify this somehow, you got screws loose. This did not have to happen. This man's blood is on the agent's hands that showed up and pulled what they pulled. Instead of showing up and getting this guy peacefully at work, it could have been done, and it would have been a perp walk. And, oh, the ATF could have claimed to be heroes. Instead, what do? Inject themselves in another situation that creates controversy and conspiracy, because we'll never believe a word from those rogue thugs. We'll be right back.
To the AFT.
This segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is being brought to you by Daniel Defense. Visit DanielDefense.com. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, back to the show indeed. Welcome back inside the 6 Hour Studios with me, Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom today on the Patriot Mobile Command and Control Center Communication Center microphone, X Insurance presenting it all. Check out all of our partners at ArmedAmericanRadio.com. Support them. April 26 marks our 15th year on the nation's airwaves. 15 years. We couldn't do it without our partners, and we couldn't do it without you. So thank you to all of you, partners alike, and you, listeners, for bringing us to the airwaves for 15 years. Looking forward to another 15, keeping you informed of what's going on out there in ways that the mainstream media wouldn't even bother. Lee the Gunwriter Williams, welcome back for a final segment on this hour of the program, bud. It's great to have you here as usual. I'll give you the final word on the ATF deal, and how do you think this is going to shake down? I'd like to know your predictions as to what you think might happen here. I do not believe. I believe this story is going to get bigger. It's my personal view. I could be wrong, but I think there are enough people within the firearms community, within the gun rights community, within the activist community, that this is going to be talked about and is going to stay alive. But isn't this just another example, as far as I'm concerned, to defund that rogue agency?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to learn their lesson from this. They didn't learn their lesson from Waco, from Ruby Ridge, from Fast and Furious, from Russell Fincher's raid. Okay, they're not going to learn their lesson ever until they're defunded or abolished or whatever you want to call it. Something needs to happen. They're clearly out of control. If no action is taken, if they don't learn their lesson, they're going to kill more innocent people, brother.
Well, it's possible that there have been, and we don't even know about it.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to believe anything? Rhetorical question. Are you going to believe anything the AFT tells you after this incident?
No. No, this was so wrong on so many levels. It clearly shows they have no gray hair in charge. These guys are running around unsupervised and unaccountable. It is the classic definition of a rogue force. Out of control, not controlled at all, not led, not supervised, do whatever they want. Casualties be damned.
Okay. I think we're in agreement on that. Listeners, you know, you make up your own mind. Is it possible, Lee, one more quick question on this. Is it possible the AFT says absolutely nothing about this going forward? Just ignores it and moves on because of the bad
publicity? Yeah, they've done that. I don't think there's anything they can say. I was having this very same conversation earlier with someone, and what can they say? Hey, sorry, you know?
No, even that wouldn't cut it at this point. Even that wouldn't cut it. And I hope the family gets some closure here. And I am hoping that Arkansas State Police find what they need to find, and that one of these federal goons is brought up on charges, because that's absolutely what needs to happen. This flat out did not need to occur. This man should be alive. And it'd be remarkable. You don't hear any Democrats talking about it, do you? Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, none whatsoever. No, not at all. Right now, this remains pretty tightly held in the gun community, but it's getting out there. Yeah. This was a good man. He was well respected. He didn't have a license to sell firearms. My final word would be, can you find a founding era statute that says, I don't know, from like the 1780s or 90s, that says you must have a license to sell firearms? I can't.
No, it's a tax scheme is all it is. It's a tax and registration scheme, and that's what the AFT is all about right now. Rogue agency, weaponized, no question about it. Lee, do you know what a zombie gun is?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Rick Grimes on The Walking Dead and that beautiful python that he carried. Maybe that's a zombie gun.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know, but seriously, because you have, ladies and gentlemen, another Democrat at it again, just making stuff up. But this time it's Congressman Maxwell Alejandro Frost. The zombie gun loophole. This was a tweet that he put out. When was this? A couple days ago? Yesterday at 10:49 a.m. Eastern Time. The zombie gun loophole is a problematic way that guns can end up in the hands of those responsible for gun violence. We must close this loophole and destroy zombie guns now. Every life lost to gun violence is one too many. Lee, what the hell is a zombie gun?
You know, you got me on that one, brother. You absolutely have me on that one. If I had to guess, I would say maybe my AK with a 75-round drum. That would be a good zombie gun.
Well, according to Democrats, let's be honest, a zombie gun, it's whatever they want it to be, right? That we know that that's what they just make this stuff up. And this clown is likely trying to get some traction in the mainstream media to create another demonic name for a firearm. In this case, Spectrum News is who reported this, that he wants to close the zombie gun loophole. And apparently he has the support of more than 20 Democrat House members. So now there's a zombie gun loophole, ladies and gentlemen. They never stop. The creativity is remarkable. But what he claims is a zombie gun applies to, and I quote, guns that were not destroyed after being, quote unquote, retired by law enforcement or taken in via gun buybacks. So that's a zombie gun. Okay. I don't know how the moniker fits, but ladies and gentlemen, what you're witnessing with this, and Lee, I'll, you know, get your comment on this, but this appears to me to be another Democrat as we approach an election who is coming after your guns, who is trying to create something that doesn't exist, a new category to demonize when it comes to guns. And zombie guns just takes off a little bit more on ghost guns. It's just another new quote-unquote moniker to demonize and frighten people. Could I be right about that assessment?
I think the good congressman maybe hit the edibles a little hard one night to come up with this idea.
I think it went beyond edibles.
Yeah, this is pretty strange, man. Maybe some edibles and some good bourbon. I've gone my entire life without knowing what a zombie gun is, so I do want to thank him for that.
My idea of a zombie gun would be something good for killing zombies, because we all know that day's coming. Yeah. Zombies are coming, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, here we go with that, right? This guy believes in UFOs and zombies. Okay, we'll see. We'll see who's right. The zombie guns. I got to wonder, and I laugh about this stuff. I gave this some thought. I'm like, how did this guy sit at home and write things down? Is he looking for a term? Ooh, I think that fits. I think I'll call that a zombie gun. And because I'm a congressman, I'll put it out there, and we'll call it a zombie gun loophole. And maybe our friends in the media will grab it, latch onto it, and I'll be responsible and be able to say, I created that term, zombie gun. I mean, my gosh, Lee, it never ceases, does it, brother?
I miss the old ones. I miss the old names. The Saturday Night Special, the Cop Killer Bullets. At least they had some flash and some style. Not too impressed by zombie guns.
Zombie guns. Good heavens. Lee the Gunwriter Williams, where can people find you, brother, as we close out this hour?
Armed American News, SAF.org, or thegunwriter.substack.com.
Thegunwriter.substack.com, ladies and gentlemen. Support him over there. I do. You can, too. Thegunwriter.substack.com. And you can find his work at Armed American News, as he just mentioned. And, of course, he is the chief investigative journalist for, of all folks, the great Second Amendment Foundation. Lee the Gunwriter Williams, thank you, brother, for being here. Appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you over the weekend, I'm sure. Ladies and gentlemen, Armed American Radio's Daily Defense continues in the next hour. And guess what? Carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never, ever, ever leave your cave without your club. No self-respecting caveman would have ever been caught outside his cave without his club. See you on the flip side.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance. X Insurance on the Armed American Radio Network.